We love to explain quantum physics and the mysteries of the universe, but the mysteries of finance, not so much. Intuit helps you demystify your finances through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Understanding standard deductions or interest rates can be very complicated and tricky, with big potential consequences. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com. Hey, Jorge, if we found a new quark, what would you call it?
Pedro? Or Sven? Well, what are the current ones called?
Well, there's up, down, charm, strange, top, and bottom.
Oh, man. I feel like you can only go up from there.
You're pretty down on these names.
I mean, they're pretty strange.
I personally find them kind of charming.
I guess you do like things that are off color.
You might think this whole scheme needs a rewrite from the top.
All right, well, let's dive in. Bottoms up. Hi, I'm Jorge May Cartunas and the author of Oliver's Great Big Universe.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I'm a particle physicist and a professor at UC Irvine, and I hope to one day be involved in a big argument about how to name a new particle.
Oh, you're not involved yet? I mean, don't you guys name things before you discover them?
Yeah, that's true. We do name hypothetical particles that might not even be part of the universe.
Can I lay a stake to that? Like, hey, if anyone ever discovers a quark in the future, I'm naming it the Jorge.
I think you can call it whatever you like. Yeah, whether it catches on is another question.
No, but I said it first. Doesn't that count? Did you have dibs in physics?
There is no dibs. And in physics, we even have disagreements about what to name things, which go on for decades.
Oh, what if I named the quark the dibs? The dibs boson. But anyways, welcome to our podcast, Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, a production of iHeartRadio.
Where we want to be the first to explain everything about the universe to you, from how all the tiny little particles work, from their interactions to their little bits of matter, to their quantum fields and the way they work together to make everything that's glorious and delicious and badly named in the universe.
That's right, because it is a strange and charming universe out there full of mysteries that we are still discovering. New discoveries are still being made even today about how the universe works and what are all the things in it.
One way to answer the question, how does the universe work, is to figure out what its tiniest bits are and what rules they follow. In some sense, that would be an explanation because it's sort of the most fundamental description. In another sense, it's sort of lacking a lot of a connection to reality. Even if you understand the tiny little bits, you don't necessarily understand why blackberry ice cream is so delicious.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing that we've discovered so much about what matter is made out of, given that we have these kind of soft, squishy eyeballs that really don't work all that well all the time.
We have augmented our bare senses with all sorts of amazing technological eyeballs, things that can gather ancient photons while orbiting the Earth, and devices that poke and probe little bits of matter to reveal their structure.
Or even as simple as reading glasses, which I forgot today to bring. So that's why I'm only about 80% sure of what we're talking about today.
Is that up from your usual 75% or down? Yes.
I guess I mean 80% sure of what's on this page in front of me.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, I think we've been working together for more than a decade before I even learned that you wore glasses.
Oh, well, I only just started wearing reading glasses maybe a year or two ago. It came pretty fast.
I see. So you're saying after 10 years of working with Daniel, you're incurring actual physical damage.
That's right. All this talking about tiny microscopic particles, I mean, that would ruin anyone's eyesight.
All right. There you have it, folks. A health warning for this podcast. We're 5 years in, which means you're all 5 years away from ruining your eyesight.
Well, I did wear glasses for a long time. Then I got LASIK surgery, which is amazing. But now, as I'm getting older, I need reading glasses, which totally stinks. You haven't hit that wall yet?
I've been wearing glasses since I was a teenager. And I'm definitely not getting my eyeballs lasered. Oh, no.
But aren't you a physicist? Don't you trust the lasers?
I'm a physicist, so I definitely don't trust the lasers.
What if they made a LASIK operation that let you see subatomic particles?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I would definitely volunteer other people for it and ask them all sorts of questions about it.
Really? You don't want to see particles with your naked eye?
No, I prefer augmented technological eyeballs and to keep my eyeballs unaltered.
I see. You're like, take a picture.
Exactly. Build me a device, put the picture on a screen. I'm happy with that.
But anyways, it would be amazing to see at that microscopic level because we would discover maybe what matter is actually made out of.
And we have made a lot of progress over the years in figuring out what the tiny little bits are that click together to explain our world and what the tiny bits inside those bits are and how they work together. But there are still lots and lots of questions, not just questions about the crazy, weird particles we may or may not discover at colliders, but questions about what you and I are actually made out of.
That's right. It's been a long road to discover the building blocks of stuff around us. We started with tiny hypothetical particles made out of earth, wind, and fire, right? That's how the Greeks started. And then we moved on to atoms.
I don't know if the Greeks thought about like wind particles and fire particles. They had lots of different crazy ideas about how the universe works. But yeah, you can dot, dot, dot from there to quantum field theory.
Yeah, isn't that what Zeus is? Isn't Zeus basically like a particle? Like a lightning particle?
The Zeus particle. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before. That sounds like a really awesome young adult thriller.
That sounds like, well, we should name the next particle I discover or that I propose we discover.
Well, some people do call the Higgs boson the God particle, so maybe we should just broaden that, you know? We should have the Jehovah particle. And
that's right. Be more inclusive about all religions, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But it has been a pretty amazing road to discover what things are made of. And at some point, I guess people discovered that we're made out of atoms, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the first step. And it's in some ways the most amazing, the most incredible, the biggest sort of intellectual leap to say that all the craziness in the universe, the almost infinite variety of stuff out there, can be explained with a small set of basic building blocks, the atoms, the about 100 elements of the periodic table, can be put together in all sorts of ways to explain everything that we've ever seen. Like philosophically, it's not obvious that we would have to live in a universe that works that way, where the arrangements of the smallest bits explain the complexity that we experience.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been that we lived in a universe where everything was made out of earth, wind, and fire, right?
Yeah, or everything could have been made out of its own different kind of stuff. Everything out there in the universe could have had its own elemental particle that explains it. But instead, it seems like as you dig deeper and deeper into the firmament of the universe, things weirdly get simpler.
And so we cracked open matter to discover it's made out of atoms. And then at some point we cracked open the atom to find out that it's made out of smaller particles.
Yeah, the nucleus has protons and neutrons, and then surrounding those are electrons. And those protons and neutrons themselves, we discovered, are also not fundamental bits of the universe. They are made of even smaller particles bound together with an incredibly powerful force.
Yeah, and so we have a name for those particles. They're called quarks. And we think we know maybe what all the quarks are.
We think we know maybe. That's definitely a good summary of the physics of basically anything.
We think we know.
Maybe.
That's basic science, isn't it? Or really, that's just human reality. And anything that's out there, we just think we know it's there.
Yeah. And add a comma maybe at the end and you're golden.
Or a dot, dot, dot. Or a question mark.
But the story isn't over. Tune in next season.
Quarks? Maybe.
And so you've probably been told a familiar story about how the proton is made out of two different quarks, the up quark and the down. But that's not the end of the story, comma, maybe.
It never is. Yeah, there might be only two kinds of quarks inside of the proton, but is that really the case? And so today on the podcast, we'll be tackling the question. Are there charm quarks inside the proton? Are we basically asking if the proton is charming?
We're asking about its chat, yeah. Is it good at having conversations or is it kind of dull?
Does it have rizz? Is a proton rizzy?
Should you take a proton out with you on Friday night to be your wingman or wingwoman?
That's right. Or would it be too charming?
Mm.
You don't want that.
Yeah,
exactly. As your wingman. Mm. Or wing particle.
Your wing particle. We are in our desperate efforts to be relevant to modern culture here.
Yeah, or to pretend we're young and still go out on Friday nights. I mean, come on, let's face it. My Friday nights are and do not involve putting on anything besides pajamas.
Let me just squint through my reading glasses to read the latest slang the youth are saying these days.
Yeah, there you go.
What is that word? Riz, raz, ruz?
Riz, like charisma.
Oh, is that what Riz is short for? I was wondering.
Oh, man, you're even worse than me. I guess you are older than me.
Am I? Yeah, I'm rounding up to 50 for sure, so.
Well, I guess is charm the same as charisma? Sort of.
How would you shorten charm? Harm? Arm? Arm?
Cham, obviously.
Cham,
I mean, I think we all associate cham with charm. Anyways.
Where have I heard that word before? Cham. Cham. That rings a bell. What is that? I can't place it.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty soon all the kids will say, like, oh man, that kid really has cham.
Yeah, he's so chamming. He's a champion.
That's right. Yes.
With a cham pie on. There you go. You are a particle already.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Gosh, you brought it back around to particle physics. Yes. The cham pie on.
Yeah, exactly. There's already a particle named after you.
And I hear it's the best one. It's like it beat out all the other particles. All right. Well, this is an interesting question. Are there charm quarks inside the proton? Well, first of all, I feel like maybe not a lot of people know the conventional wisdom, which is that there are only two of the other kinds of quarks in the proton.
Yeah. The story you're usually told is that the proton is made of just two kinds of quarks, the up quark and the down quark. These are the lightest quarks that exist out there, the ones that are stable and usually seen as the basic building blocks of matter.
Yeah, and so the question is there a third kind of quark inside the proton, and is it charming? Or is it kind of an annoying quark?
Is the whole thing kind of strange?
All right, well, as usual, we were wondering how many people out there had thought about this question or wondered what exactly is inside the proton.
Thanks very much to everybody who participates in this segment. We'd love to hear your voice on the podcast, so please write to me. Get over that barrier that's been preventing you from participating and send me an email to questions@danielandjorge.com.
So think about it for a second. Do you think the proton is charming? Here's what people had to say.
A proton is positively charged, I think. If something's charming, it's positive. So, yes.
I believe that a proton is made up of up quarks and down quarks. So I'm going to say no to the charm quark.
I like the sound of charm quarks. I'm picturing that character from Star Trek now as he's trying to do a deal. That's a charm quark. I'm not sure what a charm quark is, but if there were quarks, there are up quarks and down quarks inside a proton, right? So I would say that if there are quarks, they're inside a proton. So yes, there are charm quarks inside a proton. And I look forward to learning exactly what a charm quark is.
All right, some interesting ideas here. Little Star Trek reference here. That was a Star Trek TNG reference, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Quark only appears in The Next Generation. And he is kind of charming.
All right, well, most people seem positive that the proton is charming, although there was one person who said no.
Yeah, some people have heard the story that protons are just made of up quarks and down quarks.
All right, well, let's dig into it. Daniel, maybe start with the basics. What is a quark? And what is a charming one? And what is a not charming quark?
So quarks are the particles that we see inside the proton and inside the neutron, and also inside a bunch of other particles that we've seen in collisions and in cosmic rays, like kaons and pions and other particles that are not stable. But when you smash these particles together, you discover that there really are smaller bits inside of them. And those are the particles we call quarks.
How are quarks named, by the way?
How are the individual quarks named, or how is the word quark invented?
Yeah, like how did they come up with the word quark? Like, it sounds kind of quirky. Was that a real word before that they discovered the particle, or did they invent a new word?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting story. Quark actually is a thing out there in the world. It's like a yogurty thing that is eaten in Germany and other parts of Europe. But in English, quarks were named by Murray Gell-Mann. And he actually took the word from a James Joyce poem, Finnegan's Wake, where it says, "Three quarks for Master Mark."
What did James Joyce mean by it?
Well, there's some debate, of course, because James Joyce is a poet, and so they never like use words in the ways that people expect.
Meaning it was a typo.
Maybe a genius typo, who knows? But the word quark here is like a variation of the word croak. And so the line in the poem is about like cheering the king. Three quarks for Mr. Mark is like three croaks or three cheers.
And so the person who discovered these particles picked that because he thought there were three particles, or why did they pick that word out of that poem?
He's got a long story for why he picked this, but essentially it comes down to the fact that there were three of them at the time. At the time that he was coming up with the name for it, we thought that there were three different kinds of quarks, the up, the down, and the strange. And so he was looking for something connected to three.
And by three, you mean like, you know, the more you do these collisions and you explore what matter is made out of, you find three different flavors of these particles, right?
Yeah, there's three different kinds of these particles that were initially identified. And it comes out of this era in particle physics called the particle zoo, when we turned on colliders, smashed protons into stuff, and saw all sorts of weird particles come out. I mean, we saw pions, we saw kaons, we saw omega particles. We saw rho particles. Basically, every time you turned on the collider and added a bit more energy, you saw new stuff come out. And so it was a very confusing time in particle physics. Like, what are all these particles? Are they all made from the same thing? Are they all their own different kind of thing? And quarks was an effort to unify that, to explain it. Murray Gell-Mann and other folks realized that with just three basic particles, the up quark, the down quark, and the strange quark, you could explain all the particle zoo as just being different combinations of these three basic building blocks. The same way you can explain like everything we experience in terms of 100 elements, they were able to explain all of the elements of the particle zoo in terms of these just three basic building blocks.
Like maybe you could say like iron is not like a totally different particle than oxygen or carbon. It's just like they're just made of different arrangements of the same particles.
Yeah, exactly. You can make any element with a certain number of protons, neutrons, and electrons, right? There's really only three building blocks there that explain all of that complexity. In the same way, you can make pions out of an up quark and an anti-up quark. You can make kaons if you mix in some strange quarks. You can make protons out of three quarks. You can make neutrons out of three quarks. And so they were able to explain all of this complexity using three basic building blocks. And they were even able to predict the existence of particles we hadn't seen yet. They said, if you mix all these particles together, there's one way to mix them that nobody's seen yet. And they predicted that that particle existed, and then they saw it. And so that's what Ooh. Really convinced everybody that it was real.
What was it called?
So it was the omega minus particle, which was made out of three strange quarks. And it was actually Gell-Mann predicted it. He stood up at a conference and made this prediction, which is sort of ballsy. And then it was observed, and people believed that they were real.
Now, the quarks were hypothetical, or do we eventually see them individually, like at a collider?
Yeah, great question. For a long time, people believed the math of these quarks, and they said, all right, well, the math works, but they're kind of hypothetical. But then there was sort of a philosophical debate about whether they're real or hypothetical, because you can't actually see them by themselves.
You cannot.
You cannot ever see a quark by itself, yeah. The quarks feel this strong force, which is much stronger than electromagnetism, for example. And they're so tightly bound together. There's so much energy in their interaction that if you pull them apart, that energy creates more quarks, basically to shield it. It's such a powerful force that it always neutralizes itself. The same way like lightning is neutralizing any charge difference between the ground and clouds because electromagnetism is so powerful, the strong force does that as well very, very rapidly. So quarks can never be seen on their own. You can only ever see them put together in these various combinations.
Whoa. So then what makes you think that's an individual particle? Like if you never see some it alone, how do you know it's like a thing?
Yeah, that's a great philosophical question. And you can actually ask the same question of basically anything. You could even ask that question of the electron. Like we never see the electron by itself. An electron is actually surrounded by a cloud of virtual particles, including lots of photons. You never actually probe the pure individual electron. So everything is just sort of like part of the fabric of reality. It's a bit of a philosophical question when you declare that it's real. We have these models, we do these calculations, they're accurate, they predict the results of experiments, and so we think that probably they're real, but you know, we could be totally wrong. The whole story we're telling about the nature of the universe and how particles work could also just be totally wrong. The whole thing could just be an elaborate mathematical tool that mostly works. So it's actually a pretty subtle philosophical question, like what's real out there and what's just sort of part of the story we're telling.
Well, you mean we only actually think the quark exists? Dot, 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 maybe?
Yeah, dot, 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 maybe. But there are some very powerful arguments that at least it's the right way to think about the universe. Whether it's like philosophically true and out there is sort of another question.
I see. It could be maybe like a non-particle or some sort of weird thing that we can grasp our heads around.
It could be that there's another way to think of what's inside these particles that works better. Because one problem we have is that the strong force is so powerful, it's very difficult to make calculations with. Like you get things a little bit wrong and the power of the force makes things very, very wrong. So it's very difficult to make predictions with, unlike electromagnetism where we can make very, very precise predictions about exactly what happens when two electrons bounce off each other. When two quarks collide, it's a huge mess. And we don't know how to do those calculations very well. So that might be a sign that we have like the wrong idea. Maybe when aliens come, they'll have a better theory for what's going on inside all these particles. And it's just much simpler and crisper and the mathematics of it makes sense.
All right, well, let's get into which quarks, if they do exist, are in the proton and why we think the proton may or may not be charming. So let's dig into that. But first, let's take a quick break.
You know that feeling after you've done a deep spring clean of your house when you realize, wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like how you feel when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless, while Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording all this? So it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Personally, I've used Mint Mobile, and the calls are always so crisp and so clear. All of their plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So it's time to ditch your overpriced wireless and go with Mint Mobile's limited time deal for 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/universe. That's mintmobile.com/universe. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/universe. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Slower speeds above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. The financial universe out there can seem like a vast place, full of scary mysteries and exciting possibilities, but it can also be overwhelming to navigate, especially when you're first starting out in life. It feels sometimes like just one wrong turn could send you hurtling endlessly towards a financial black hole. But don't worry, you don't have to navigate the financial universe on your own. With the right tools, you can master the financial universe and chart your course with confidence. Intuit helps you navigate the financial universe through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're talking about whether there are charm quarks inside the proton. That's the, I guess, the question on everyone's minds these days.
You know, you joke, but it's actually a hot topic that's been debated in particle physics for literally decades, whether the proton has charm in it or whether it's just made of ups and downs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like it's on everyone's mind, right?
And it's been a question basically since the charm quark was discovered. I mean, you ask about, like, why do we think that quarks are real? I think the moment that the whole community went from these are cute, but we don't know, to yeah, these are real, was this day in November in 1974 when the charm quark was discovered.
What happened?
It's called the November Revolution because it's so dramatic. And this is the moment when the charm quark was shown to be real. Experiments declared the discovery of the charm quark. Because the picture of having only three quarks, the up, the down, and the strange, was a little weird. Like, the up and the down are sort of paired together. The strange quark is a lot like the down quark. It has the same electric charge or whatever, sort of like a cousin of the down quark. And people were wondering, like, is there a cousin of the up quark? Shouldn't the up quark also have a cousin? Shouldn't there be, like, patterns and symmetries and balance and all that stuff? So people predicted, okay, this quark should exist out there. If these are real, there should be another one. And so people were looking for this quark, and there were actually two competing groups, one at MIT led by Sam Ting and another one at Stanford led by Bert Richter, both looking for the charm quark. And they declared discovery of the charm quark on the same day in dueling press conferences across the country from each other. And they gave the particle the charm quark makes different names.
What did they name them?
So the charm quark combines with an anti-charm quark to make this particle. Sam Ting called it the J particle. Apparently, J is sort of similar to the character for his name in Chinese. Bert Richter called it the Psi particle because he liked Greek names for particles. And so the same day, we had a new particle given two different names, the J and the Psi.
Like at the exact same minute? Doesn't it count like which minute you make the announcement?
In the internet era, it does kind of matter. People like time their papers to try to get them on the archive at the top of the list on the first day or whatever to avoid being scooped. But I think back then, the resolution of this stuff was more like dependent on like sending letters and mail. So If you made your announcements on the same day, it counts as two independent discoveries that are basically simultaneous. But there is a lot of drama about how they happen to make these discoveries on the same day, because Sam Ting's experiment was very slow. He was going to take like a year to figure this stuff out, but he didn't have to know where to look. It was like a very general kind of experiment. Bert Richter could discover this thing in like a few hours if somebody told him exactly where to look. And Richter did an initial scan and didn't see it. He sort of like accidentally skipped over it. And the story is like maybe somebody on Sam Ting's team tipped off Bert Richter and told him exactly where to look so that he could do the experiment and come in with a discovery at exactly the same moment as the MIT team. Nobody knows for sure what happened.
Like academic espionage.
Yeah, or something. There's a lot of crazy stories, some of which are not safe for podcasting, which you can Google and hear about. But to this day, we have not settled this dispute.
Not safe for podcasting. How salacious is this story?
There are stories about scatological sabotage of various experiments.
What? You mean involving bodily fluids?
Yes, exactly.
Mm. I think that's safe for podcasting, but maybe not desirable to talk about in a podcast.
It just goes to show you that there's sort of high drama and, you know, Nobel Prizes were on the line. In the end, both of these guys won the Nobel Prize. They shared it for the discovery of this particle, two charm quarks bound together. And we still call the particle J-Psi. We give it both names because we couldn't figure out how to settle this dispute.
Mm. And so this is the moment you're saying that the charm quark was discovered. Because mm-hmm. this particle is made out of two charm quarks. What made them think it was made out of two charm quarks?
It has all the properties that they predicted. If the charm quark exists, they predicted that it would form this particle, which has about twice the mass of an individual charm quark, and it would decay in certain ways and the angles of those decays. So it basically looked exactly like what they expected, and there's no other way to explain this particle. They can't explain this particle with just up quarks, down quarks, and strange quarks. So that told them, there must be this new quark out there. And that made people feel like, okay, quarks are real because we predicted a quark and then seen it. It's not just descriptive. It's not like we're just using it to tell a story about what we've already seen. It's helping us understand future experiments.
All right, so that's how we discovered the charm quark. Now, I guess the question is there one inside the proton?
So the simple story is no. I mean, this initial description of quarks as the building blocks of all these weird particles tell us that the proton is made of two up quarks and one down quark. And that works because the math is really weird for these particles. Like an up quark has charge 2/3. Like an electron is charged -1, an up quark is charged 2/3. It's like fractionally charged. And the down quark has charge -1/3. So you add up two up quarks, you get 4/3 of a charge. You add a down quark, and it brings it back down to +1. So the proton is explained in terms of two up quarks and a down quark. And that's a nice, simple story. But like everything else in physics, there's always more to it.
Mm, now, is that the only difference between an up quark and a down quark? Is there electrical charge?
There are also differences in mass. The up quark is lower mass than the down quark. And they have differences in their other charges. Remember, the electrical charge is how we talk about the electromagnetic interaction. Things that have electrical charge interact electromagnetically. Things that don't interact electromagnetically, like a neutrino, no electric charge, no electromagnetic interaction, ignores electric fields. But particles have other kinds of charges. Like if you feel the weak force, you have weak charges. And the weak force is very complicated. It has two different kinds of charge. So the up quark and the down quark are different also in their weak charges, how they interact with the weak field.
Mm. And so then the charm quark is just like an up quark, just heavier? Or mm-hmm. why do you call it a cousin of the up quark?
Yeah, because it has all the same charges as the up quark. It's charged 2/3 electromagnetically. It has the same spin as the up quark. It has the same weak charges as the up quark. So if you make like a periodic table of the fundamental particles, it just makes sense to put the charm there next to the up quark, the way the strange is next to the down quark, because the down and the strange, they have all the same electrical charges and the weak charges. And so these particles are very similar to each other, except they're different in mass.
Mm, meaning that it just has more mass. It's like an up quark, but just heavier.
Yeah, it's an up quark, but just heavier. And that's explained, of course, because of its interactions with the Higgs boson. The charm interacts more with the Higgs field, and so it has more mass than the up quark. And not by a little bit. It has like 600 times the mass of the up quark. It's actually more massive than the proton.
Mm. Okay, so then you're saying that the the question of whether there are charm quarks inside the proton, the answer is no, maybe, dot, 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 question mark. So why the no?
So the simplest story is just like, you got three quarks, you're done. But think about how those quarks are actually stuck together. How do quarks come together to make a proton? They don't like physically click together like pieces of a puzzle. They're bound together. There's a force that holds them together. The same way that like a proton and an electron together make a hydrogen atom because of the electromagnetic force. The quarks are bound together with the strong force, which means that there's a bunch of gluons there also inside the proton. So the proton is like two up quarks and a down quark and a zillion gluons in between them. So already we know there's a little bit more to the proton than just the quarks.
I guess maybe I'm getting a little confused because a proton, you said, is two up quarks and a down quark.
Mm-hmm.
And a neutron, for example, mm-hmm. is two down quarks and one up quark.
Yes.
So it's sort of like the same, but you just switch one of the quarks.
Exactly. And that's why beta decay requires just switching one down or up or back and forth.
Okay, so now we're asking if the proton has a different kind of quark in it. But if we change the quarks in a proton, it wouldn't be a proton anymore, would it?
A proton is a proton is a proton. That's just the thing we find in nature. The question is, what's in it? It might be that the proton's innards are different from what we've been describing for a while. Our story might have been a little bit wrong. So if there are charm quarks also inside a proton, then that's what a proton is. We're not talking about replacing one of the up quark with a charm quark. We're asking if there are more quarks in there. If it's not just up, up, and down, if there's extra other little bits in there.
Oh, I see. Like a proton is still a proton with mm-hmm. two up quarks and a down quark, but like maybe is there a charm quark jammed in there somehow
yeah,
that we
exactly.
haven't seen before?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Are there like little okay. bits quantum mechanically of charm quark hanging out in there?
Okay, and this is the burning question in particle physics. Now, why do you even have this question? Why do you think there might be charm quarks inside the proton?
Well, we're always just curious, like, what is stuff made out of? We want to know definitively, like, what is a proton? Because a proton's the basic building block of everything out there in the universe. When the universe cooled and stuff slowed down, this is what it decided to make, mostly protons. So like you want to know the answer to the question, how does our universe work? What's it made out of? You got to understand the proton. And so we're always happy with the first answer, but then we want to dig deeper and say, is that the total story? Is there more going on to the proton? And then there are hints. There are hints that maybe there is something else. And one of the hints is that we know that the glue between those particles has the capacity to make more quarks. Like those gluons we talked about that stick the up quarks and down quarks together, they don't just hang out and stay gluons. Sometimes they turn into quarks and then back. So you could have a gluon in the proton that's flying around. All of a sudden, it turns into a bottom quark and an antibottom quark and then back into a gluon. So if you shoot a probe at a proton, sometimes you hit the main quarks, the up quarks and the down quarks. Sometimes you hit a gluon. Sometimes you hit a bottom quark. Sometimes you hit a charm quark. Sometimes you hit a top quark. It's a big frothing mess.
It sounds like it's sort of like quantum mechanical magic where there's like an infinite number of particles popping mm-hmm. into existence probabilistically. But we still say that the proton is made out of three quarks, right? And those are more real than the other imaginary quarks?
Yeah, those are the intrinsic quarks. We say the two up quarks and the down quark are like the building block of the proton because they're there all the time. Right? They're just always part of the proton. They sort of define what the proton is. And we know that the gluons are there sloshing around and that, as you say, quantum mechanically, sometimes if you poke into them, they can be turning into something else and you caught them in the act and maybe you can interact with that particle. But we think about those as like extrinsic particles. We don't think of those as necessarily part of the proton itself because the energy to create those and to make that interaction happen comes from the collision. Like you want to smash two protons together to see what's inside and to interact with those gluons, then the energy to make like the bottom quark or whatever else other weird quarks you're talking about comes from the energy you've put in. And so we're interested in more deeply the question, like what's the proton itself made out of? And so this is the question people have been asking, like when a proton is just sitting there by itself, does it also still have some charm quark in it?
So wait, are you asking whether the proton has, in addition to the up, up, and down,
mm-hmm.
as intrinsic quarks, does it also have an intrinsic charm quark to it?
Or yes.
are you asking whether it has a lot of extrinsic charm quarks in it?
We already know it has a lot of extrinsic charm quarks. Like it has extrinsic everything. because the gluons have so much energy, and if you interact with them, they can basically make anything. We're asking whether it has intrinsic charm quark, like when a proton is just sitting there, does it also actually have some charm quark in it? And that's conceptually a little hard to get your mind around, because like, what does that mean? We're talking about these three particles make up the quark, right? Remember that everything we're talking about is quantum mechanical. And so really we're talking about making the picture of the proton a little bit more complicated, not just like there are three particles, but like there are more options here. Sometimes it has two up quarks and a down. Sometimes one of those is a charm quark. Sometimes one of those is an up quark. Sometimes one of those is a down quark. It's a little bit more of a complicated mixture of these particles if there is intrinsic charm in the proton.
Okay, so you're sort of saying like if we have the picture that it's made out of two up quarks and one down quark, but maybe the picture is more like it's changing all the time. Like, yes, maybe the proton is transforming inside of itself into different combinations of quarks.
Yes, exactly. And so people have been trying to answer this question for a long time. They've been doing it the only way that we know how, which is to try to break open the proton, throw other protons at it, or throw electrons at it, smash something into it. It's tricky though, because you want to distinguish between the scenario where like the proton has intrinsic charm quarks in it, you know, like the internals of it are like changing back and forth from up quarks to charm quarks, or you're creating charm quarks when you collide, you're manufacturing these extrinsic charm quarks in the process of probing it. It's been a very difficult set of experiments to do, to distinguish between the charm quarks we see in the proton. Are they intrinsic or are they extrinsic? It's not an easy experiment.
All right, well, let's dig into the details of this experiment and what it tells us about what's really inside a proton, or what a proton really is actually made out of. So let's dig into that. But first, let's take another quick break.
The financial universe out there can seem like a vast place full of scary mysteries and exciting possibilities, but it can also be overwhelming to navigate, especially when you're first starting out in life. It feels sometimes like just one wrong turn could send you hurtling endlessly towards a financial black hole. But don't worry, you don't have to navigate the financial universe on your own. With the right tools, you can master the financial universe and chart your course with confidence. Intuit helps you navigate the financial universe through products from Intuit like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com, to start living yours. Let's get into it. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time off to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life to immerse myself in natural beauty and have a unique experience. But you don't have to leave the United States to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. People from Puerto Rico are called Boricuas, but it's not just a name. It's a spirit, a flavor, a rhythm that you can only find in one place on Earth. Puerto Rico. It's embodied by these proud, passionate people, and you'll feel it in every part of the island. When you bask in the warmth of the beaches, when you taste the love in the food, when you embrace the call of adventure, you'll find the Boricua spirit in yourself as well. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. You can forget where you came from and embrace where you are in Puerto Rico, because your visit ends, but the stories last forever. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, we're asking, what's really inside the proton? Is it just two up quarks and a down quark, as we've been told, or as you and I have been telling people for years now, Daniel? I feel like maybe you're now calling us liars. Because it turns out that maybe there's a question of whether there's more to the proton than just these quarks. Like, maybe its insides are changing all the time, from two up quarks and down quark to something else, which involves another kind of quark, the charm quark.
I think everything we've been telling people for years has an implicit comma, maybe, dot, dot, dot at the end of it.
I feel like if you wanted to make that explicit, maybe we should make it more explicit, Daniel. Maybe we should rename the podcast Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, dot, 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 maybe.
You know, it's just part of our scientific storytelling. We're always trying to come up with a way to describe the universe and then figuring out, oh, that doesn't actually capture all the details. Let's add some bells and whistles, or let's simplify it. Or let's throw the whole thing out and explain it in another way. It's just part of the journey.
I mean, I feel like maybe all this time, you could have just added, like, we think that this is what it's made out of. Not like, I feel like for years we've been saying, oh, yes, the proton is made out of two up quarks and a down quark. Like, that's a fact, but maybe it's not.
Well, you know, when you're introducing people to really weird, complex topics, you have to do it bit by bit. And if you start with all the qualifiers, all the reasons why we don't understand it, they're never going to get to the things we think we maybe do understand.
I think people can handle scientists think. Or we think it's made out of this.
I guess I feel like that's implied with everything that comes out of my mouth. Anyway, from now on, listeners, insert a scientist think in front of everything you hear me say.
That's right. Maybe we should have like one of those quick read disclaimers at the end of each episode. Like, Daniel Jorge Explained the Universe has not been verified by the FDA or a valid international physics organization.
Even valid international physics organizations, they just think stuff, man. They can be wrong.
Well, some things are more verified by experiments than others, right?
Yes, yes, that's true. And that's what we're trying to capture here on the podcast, the current mainstream thinking for how the universe works.
All right. Well, I guess we'll tell Corey, our engineer, to just add that disclaimer at the end of every episode from now and retroactively, maybe also.
Yes,
can
definitely.
You do that?
Because
I feel like, you know, maybe we've been deceiving people for 5 years, Daniel.
Well, you know, they got to stick around for the twist.
The twist where we reveal that we lied to them.
These are approximations. They're not lies.
I see. The betrayal.
Good faith explanations.
All right. So the idea is that the proton is mostly made out of two up quarks and a down quark. But maybe you think there's a possibility that that changes sometimes.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, first you said the simple answer is that no, there's no charm quark in the proton. Why was that no again?
That's just the sort of simplest answer. And it's also sort of common sense. The charm quark has more mass than the proton. So it's sort of like saying that the proton is less than the sum of its parts if it has like a little bit of charm quark in it.
Meaning like it's mostly two ups and quarks and a down quark, right?
Yeah.
That's why the basic answer is no. But then you're saying maybe there's more going on. Maybe it does change into some charminess sometimes. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Because in quantum mechanics, anything that can happen will happen. And we don't see a reason why you can't sometimes have charm quarks hanging out inside the proton. But these calculations are really hard to do. You know, quantum chromodynamics, the theory that explains how the strong interactions work and how quarks come together to make particles, is a bear to work with. We can't even do things like calculate from first principles what the mass of the proton should be, or the mass of these other particles. It's like very, very difficult to do anything with. So it's dominated by experiments. We have to go out and actually measure this stuff and see what's in the universe and then try to figure out how to explain it with our calculations, because we're really limited in the calculations we can do here. And so people have been doing experiments to see like what's inside the proton for a few decades now. And there were some hints, oh, look, this experiment says there actually is some charm inside the proton, some intrinsic charm, not charm that's created when we collide stuff together out of that energy, but charm that was already there. And then another experiment that came along said, nope, we don't see any charm. And these things were limited because we didn't have enough data. We didn't have enough energy. We didn't have enough power. But recently, because the Large Hadron Collider, we have more data. We have more energy. We can get more definitive measurements for what's inside the proton.
I feel like you're talking about charm like it's a property, like Riz, you know, or like actual charm. Is it like a property? I thought we were talking about the charm quark.
Saying whether it has charm is just shorthand for saying whether there's a probability to find charm quarks in the proton. But we are changing a little bit what we mean by it's made out of, right? We think of the atom as made out of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Like you have those things as ingredients, you put them together, and now you call it an atom. Here it's a little bit different. It's a little fuzzier. It's a little bit more quantum mechanical. We're saying like the wave function of the proton has components of the up quark and the down quark, and maybe there's a component there for the charm quark. Not like the charm quark is always there, but there's always a probability for it. So it changes a little bit what we mean by like this, the proton is made of something.
But I guess then you get into the question of like, where do you draw the line? Quantum mechanically, it is technically possible for my body to suddenly turn into the body of Brad Pitt, right? Like, that's a quantum mechanical probability. It's very small, but it is technically a possibility, right? In this universe.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're both equally charming, so you're already there.
Yeah, Brad Pitt is very charming. but just because I can turn into Brad Pitt at any moment doesn't mean that I am Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. But you can ask the question, if I call Jorge 1,000 times, what fraction of the time does Brad answer? Right.
Mm-hmm. And well, even if it's like one in a trillion, at what point, at what number of phone calls should I change my name to Brad Pitt?
Yeah, well, if you've always called Jorge and Brad has never answered, then you can't say that there's a Brad contribution to Jorge. But as soon as that happens, then boom, you've measured the Brad fraction of Jorge Cham.
And then at what point do you say that I am made out of Brad Pitt?
When you can measure some Brad in Jorge. The time that Brad answers, that's when we'll declare you are partially Brad Pitt.
Like, is there a percentage that you would do that? Just like in the proton, like, mm-hmm. Is there a percentage of charm quarkness that you would then say, yes, the proton does have a charm quark in it? Because technically it does right now, right? There's a very small probability, as you said, that things in it can turn into a charm quark.
I don't think there's any minimum quantities. As long as you can measure it, as long as it's large enough for us to detect it, then we'll say we found charm in the proton. We know that it's there. Otherwise, it's just sort of theoretical. It's like saying, you know, is there a teapot a zillion light years away? I mean, maybe there is, but we'll never detect it. So it's just theoretical. But as long as we measure some charm quark in the proton, then we can say it's there. Otherwise, it's just like a possibility. And again, we can't really even do the calculations where we can predict theoretically to say how much charm there should be in the proton. So it really has to be led by measurements.
But I guess maybe the question is like, are you saying that it's possible that the proton has a charm quark in it? Or is there maybe something in the theory that says it's impossible? Or is that what you're trying to get at? Like, we need to probe it to make sure that it is possible.
Yeah, the theory says that it's possible, but the theory is very fuzzy and very hard to work with. So the best thing to do is to go out there and measure the charm fraction of the proton. And that might help us come back and improve our theories and get a better grip on what we think is going on.
I see. So you think that maybe it is possible for the insides of a proton to turn into a charm quark, but you're not sure yet because you haven't seen it or confirmed it exactly in experiments. Some people have, some people haven't.
And that was the scenario until a couple of years ago. And then using data at the Large Hadron Collider, we were able to confirm that there really is a charm quark inside the proton. So this is a paper that came out in 2022 that had very powerful statistical evidence for charm quarks inside protons, which means we're pretty sure we can say the proton is charming. But, you know, dot, 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 maybe question mark.
Well, I feel like the language you're using is maybe confusing. Like, you're not saying it has charm inside of it. You're saying it sometimes turns into a charm quark, what's inside of the proton.
I think the most precise way to say it is that the wave function for the proton has probabilities for up quarks, down quarks, and charm quarks. Sometimes when you look inside the proton, you will find a charm quark.
Mm. Oh, all right. So then it has been experimentally verified, you think? Maybe.
The latest evidence from about a year ago is pretty persuasive. It's more than 3 statistical sigmas of significance.
Now, what's the difference there? Like, what's the thing that makes you more sure rather than not? That it's not like coming from the energy when you collide these particles, for example. That it's actually there if you don't look at it.
It comes from the patterns of how the particles emerge from the collisions. Like if it's coming from actually inside the proton, then you'll see these particles come out in the path that the protons were taking. Because then the charm quarks are moving with the protons as they come into the collision. If the charm quark wasn't there the whole time, it's just made during the collision, you tend to see these charm quarks fly out more like at the center or just where the collision happens. So there's some subtle patterns there that people have been looking for, but the spray of particles, you get a different prediction if the charm quark was there all the time than if the charm quark is only created in the moments of the collision. But it's a subtle effect, which is why this experiment was very difficult to do and needed a lot of data and was only wrapped up a couple of years ago.
Okay, so now does that mean that the international physics community has to issue a giant apology for all those textbooks and posters that say that the proton is made out of 2 up quarks and a down quark? Because all this time you've been wrong.
Well, I think we're working on stickers on our web store that say ... to be added to every textbook ever.
Well, no, but I mean it. Like, you know, you walk down the physics department, you see a poster with the fundamental theory of particle physics, and it says that a proton is made out of 2 up quarks and down quark, but now you have to change the story, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's an update to the story. It's part of science evolving and becoming more charming as we learn more about how the universe works.
So are you going to change those posters? Do you think, or maybe the question is, do you think those posters need to be updated?
Yeah, it's a tough question of sort of pedagogy. Like, how do you teach this stuff? You know, the story is mostly the same, but there are nuances. And so it might be worth introducing those at the very start, or it might be worth explaining those as you dig deeper into the story.
I understand what you mean because I do a lot of science communication, but there is sort of a fine line between not saying something that's not true and saying something that's more complicated.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult line to walk. I agree.
So which one do you think it is? Do you think it needs to be updated at some point? If I say right now that the proton is made out of 2 up quarks and down quarks, you technically would have to say that's not true. Or we think that's not true. So if I see it on a poster, does that need to be corrected?
I think that basically everything we say in quantum mechanics and in particle physics is an approximation. So from that perspective, like nothing is exactly true. There's always qualifications and weirdnesses.
Just take down the posters.
Yeah, exactly.
Say, don't say anything at all.
But it's still worth saying. It's still worth introducing people to these ideas. Even if the story we tell at first is only approximately true. In the end, all of our understanding is probably only approximately true.
Well, I mean, I feel like some things are stronger than others. Like you can say an atom is made out of protons and electrons. There's no caveat to that, is there?
Well, there's other stuff in there, right? The photons can turn into other particles. And so when you interact with an atom, sometimes you find W bosons and Z bosons inside there.
In addition to the electrons and protons, but the electrons and protons are still there. No?
The electrons and protons are still there.
All right. Well, another interesting insight into how we're still figuring things out. The universe is vast and mysterious, and our current theories may change tomorrow or today, or maybe they should have changed a while ago.
We're here trying to explain our constantly evolving understanding to you.
All right, well, we hope you enjoyed that. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
For more science and curiosity, come find us on social media where we answer questions and post videos. We're on Twitter, Discord, Insta, and now TikTok. Thanks for listening, and remember that Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.